today, another Australian tradition hits the bin without even the courtesy of a national referendum. Mick says valet funship and salutes the passing of the Fair Star. Also today, the latest on Captain Cook's missing ditty box, a Pavarotti busted sunbed update, and a sneak preview of our exclusive coverage of Wimbledon 96. As always, we'll play Beat the Beasley on Radio Gladiators. You can join the Nick Balkas conga line. And joining us live once again, former stick man for the Crowdies, Paul Hester. Yes, it's all coming up on the program that's faster than a speeding Victorian Premier, Martin Molloy.
The new SAFM.
Kerry, opening up the midweek edition of Martin Molloy, right around Australia with me, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who's frantically growing an outrageous moustache just so as he can get his picture shown at the Ivan Milat trial. Mick Molloy!
How's it coming along now? It's a bit seedy, doesn't it?
It's not even a booner yet. No. It's a half boon.
It's at a very early stage of production.
Yeah, now, you're putting on a brave face, Mickey, but you've been down in the dumps all day. What's got you going?
Well, Tone, today's show begins with more sad tidings, I'm afraid. You remember a few weeks ago we broke on this program the news about KFC's decision to axe the bucket?
Oh, yes.
You remember that?
Yeah,
the nation is in turmoil. Mm-hmm. Well, now I'm afraid another great Australian institution has copped it in the neck with P&O's announcement that they've pulled the pin on the Fair Star, the fun ship.
Oh, dear.
The Fair Star is to be retired after the summer cruise season in January, a victim of passengers' quest for greater luxury.
Oh, really?
That's what they're saying.
So people are saying the fun ship's not good enough anymore.
Yeah, no, it's not comfy enough, apparently. A spokesman for P&O said, the Fair Star has been a faithful product for the Australian market, but it is now time to move on.
Right.
And that's it. That's all we get in the way of an explanation. Seems a little clinical, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Seems a little cold, don't you think? In light of the outstanding service above and beyond the call of duty provided by the First Lady, the sea. Tone, can I ask you, what's a young buck supposed to do now when he wants to get pissed as a fart and pull a root? Because that's the beauty of the Fair Star. If you want to, you can go at it hammer and tong for 6 nights and 7 days non-stop. That ship used to rock from side to side, whether it was in heavy seas or not. It was the only ocean liner that had, and if it's rocking, don't bother knocking sticker, slapped on the hull.
Right.
The captain would have been about the only bloke who didn't go down on that ship, Tone, and now it's gone.
Oh, dear.
It's just gone.
It's not right.
Oh, that ship has a lot of history too, Tone. A lot of history. Not many people know this, but the Fair Star was one of the three ships we sent to the Gulf War. Took a little longer to get there than most of the other boats because it stopped off in Bali for a week. But nevertheless, it served its country proudly. And what about the high level of entertainment it provided?
Oh, yes.
Where do you go now if you want to see a top-flight performance from a reformed pseudo-echo? Where do you go now if you want to lounge around by a pool that has the same consistency as chicken and sweet corn soup? Where do you go now if you want to play shuffleboard on a deck sporting the odd chalk outline? 200 years' time, Tone. In 200 years' time, they'll be raising money to build a replica of the Fair Star, like they've done with the Endeavour, and it'll cruise around the place so curious onlookers can imagine what it would have been like 200 years ago when brave schoolies celebrated at end-of-year exams by arming themselves with prophylactics and setting sail for faraway exotic lands while all the time chasing each other around the deck with their pants around their ankles. You can take away the boat, P&O, but you can't take away the memories. Thank you, Fair Star. Thank you. And hey, just for old time's sake, one last time, please, Fair Star, just for me, honk if you're horny.
See here, Daisy the Murray.
The dust, much like the fun ship here at Martin Molloy.
It is. It's Ode to the Fair Star, that song.
It is. But let's put it behind us, Mickey, and have ourselves a good old-fashioned Martin Molloy Crime Watch. Now, it's been 5 days and still no sign of Captain Cook's ditty box. In case you haven't heard, sometime between the hours of 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. last Saturday, Somebody popped down the Fitzroy Gardens in Melbourne, strolled into the historic cottage formerly owned by Captain James Cook, the famous navigator who was, of course, murdered in Hawaii, sadly some 200 years before Steve McGarrett and his team set up shop. They would have closed the lid on that case, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Chen, give me an ID on the victim. Sure, Steve. He's Captain James Cook, explorer, anchored at Botany Bay, surveyed the Newfoundland coast, last seen attempting to locate the Northwest Passage. Known associates, Drake, Magellan, Marco Polo. I see. Dano, bring this Polo in for questioning. And if you can't find him, just drag in a fat bloke in a Hawaiian shirt like we usually do. Anyway, in a crime that would baffle even the team from 5-0, somebody has just stuffed one of Australia's most priceless antiques down the jumper and strolled out in full view of tourists and despite the presence of four surveillance cameras. The antique in question, a 230-year-old oak chest known as Captain Cook's Ditty Box. Now, Mick, what exactly is a ditty box?
Oh, I think it's self-explanatory.
I'm assuming it's a box chock full of ditties.
Yeah.
What is it, some kind of early 17th century jukebox? Was it sitting in the corner of the lounge bar on the Endeavour and whenever one of the crew fancied a bit of Nick Bulker-style line dancing, they'd go, "Hey, Jimbo, how about a ditty?" "Sure, I'll just reach into the ditty box. What about A6? "Oh, not Turalai, Turalai again. Haven't you got any chisels?" So somewhere, somebody right now, possibly listening to this show, is sitting back with their feet up on a priceless wooden trunk containing the original sheet music of that old Violet Crumble song. A box full of outdated music. That's the most valuable illegally obtained milk crate in Australia, isn't it, that one? And it's got the initials JC on it in big letters. So who'd want that? Let's see, Joan Collins?
Yeah, maybe.
She could use it to store all her rejected manuscripts, maybe. Let's see, Jenny Craig? John Clark? No, don't think so. Jimmy Cracker? Nah, that doesn't sound like one of his jobs. Jonathan Coleman? Could he have taken it? If so, I bet it's already chockers with bacon and sausages. But no, it can't be any of these people because, sadly, none of them fit the police description of the suspect released today. Have you seen it, Mickey?
No.
The CIB wished to interview a man dressed in women's clothing, wearing high-fitting black leather gloves with a fur trim, a striped purple hat, and carrying a child's yellow umbrella. He's not a suspect. They just want to interview him and have a good cat, apparently. But I'm not making that up. That is an exact description of the suspect. Yeah, right. I'm picturing a whole lot of mischievous CIB blokes in front of the telly going, "Squat, guys, it's Crime Stoppers. Here comes the reenactment."
Radio Gladiators is coming
in the Captain Cook's oak chest robbery. That's out of the papers. I haven't made that up, and I'll just give it to you again because you should keep your eyes peeled. They're looking for a man dressed in women's clothes, wearing high-fitting black leather gloves with a fur trim, a striped purple hat, and carrying a child's yellow umbrella. Now,
he could be hosting a footy show.
Was this robbery a Fashion Week event of some sort? But you'd know him if you spotted him, wouldn't
you? Oh, yeah. You wouldn't have to remember.
You wouldn't think twice, but so keep an eye out. And in the meantime,
Wimbledon 96 has begun, and for the most up-to-date coverage, tune in to Mark Molloy. Will win this most prestigious of tournaments? Will it be Sampras, Edberg? Could it be Becker? Will it be Salman Rushdie? Well, probably not, because he can't play tennis. But if he did, we'd be there to bring you the action as it unfolds. We'll be courtside for all the big games, bringing you ball-by-ball live coverage. Even when the games are finished and everyone's gone home, we'll still be there while nothing's happening, sitting in the dark, just making stuff up about tennis.
Mick, do you reckon it'd make the competition more even if all the top players were made to wear clown shoes?
Dunno, Tone. Yeah. Dunno. What if all the ball boys rode round on Shetland ponies, whacking the ball with polo mallets?
Could work. Could work.
We'll have all the latest from the women's championships. Will it be the long-awaited showdown between Graf and Sils, or will it be Marla Maples and a pregnant Demi Moore? Not bloody likely, but just say it was, then we'd be there first with the most detailed analysis. We'll have expert opinion from John Newcomb.
G'day.
Fred Snolly.
Welcome back.
Jerry Lewis.
Waiting!
and a chicken named Dave. So join the team at Martin Molloy for the best in tennis coverage at Wimbledon 96. It's almost as good as being there.
Yeah. Mick, do you reckon Andre Agassi gets those baggy pants from a big men's store?
Don't know, Tone. Do you reckon when he's making love to Brooke Shields, he puts on a loincloth like Christopher Atkins in the Blue Lagoon?
He might do. He might do.
For all those times.
Oh, we've got all teary here at Martin Molloy. That's Celine Dion, Because You Love Me. Mick, have you been along to see Up Close and Personal yet?
Not yet, Tom, but I haven't been this excited since Steel Magnolias. Oh, that was a good film. I love it.
I hear you tried to get in the other night, but it was full, so you went to see How to Make an American Quilt instead.
That's correct. And whenever I go see a chick flick, Tom, you've got to go in. You've got to go in undercover. So I dress up. The usual outfit, long black gloves, fur trim, child's yellow umbrella, purple hat,
and...
Whoops, I'm giving the game away.
A wooden chest full of snacks under one arm.
Just full of popcorn.
Up Close and Personal, isn't that the film that was originally about that newsreader who killed herself in the mid-'80s? So Savage, somebody's savage, and it was a pretty full-on story.
Before Hollywood got to it.
Hollywood got hold of it, and suddenly it's a two-hour Celine Dion video with Michelle Pfeiffer, apparently. But let's move along, and what's coming up on the program, Paul Hester, who's been featured in the headlines quite a bit lately.
He's been making the news.
Yeah, he's coming in the next hour, and I'm sure we'll be talking sheds, as we always do.
At some stage.
We seem to spend a lot of time talking sheds on this show. It's not intentional. Yesterday we had the inventor of the Marshall Lamping, and before you know it, we're talking about his shed. So let's see what Hester's been up to down in his. And also, Beat the Beasley is coming up. Still didn't go off yesterday.
No, there's $1,500 watches going begging at this point.
I thought we made the questions, who is married to Demi Moore? It doesn't get much easier than that.
But you wouldn't think thinking music would be required at that point.
And we're going to drop a Beasley today. We're going to drop a Beasley on one of our most beloved characters here on the program. That's in the next hour. Also, Radio Gladiators is coming up. And, Mickey, I know we've had a lot of calls because since we've been back from holidays, we've yet to provide the listeners with a Pavarotti busted sunbed update. Because, as we know, Pavarotti was holidaying in Barbados and busted not one, not two, but three.
Count them, people.
Banana lounges. Any news on that front?
Apparently he's going to go for a stack. Put them one on top of the other. Try and break the record.
I hope
it's like those karate guys who are busting ice. He just racks up the sunbeds.
And will he be doing that at the MCG next year? I hope he's not going to launch straight into a bit of singing. I hope we're going to get a sunbed busting demonstration first.
I'll have a word, Tone. I'll have a word on your behalf. But have a listen to this. Opera star Luciano Pavarotti's 26-year-old lover is desperate to be pregnant. Better hurry up. I think the fair star shuts down when? Is that January? Listen to this. Nicoletta Montovani told Hello Magazine, "I have spoken with Luciano about children. I would like a child, actually, too." Luciano also said he would like two children, but I think he was talking about lunch. His tummy was rumbling when he said it. So she wants to get pregnant, hey? Well, they must be trying then, mustn't they? All of a sudden, I think we've gotten to the bottom of those three busted sunbeds, Tone. That's what was going on. It was the work of an amorous tenor. Imagine if she does get pregnant. What say she does get a tenor in the oven? She wouldn't have to buy any maternity clothes, would she? She could just wear his. She'd be the fourth tenor. Apparently, I don't know this for true, so please don't take it as gospel, Tone, but I've heard when he's making love and he's on the moan, he's got a two-octave range.
Has he really?
Have you ever heard that? I can't be sure. It's just a little something I heard around the traps. What would the kid be like, Tone? You'd be able to pick him out in the maternity ward, wouldn't you? He'd be the only baby that's already busted three bassinets.
This is Martin Molloy.
The program was briefly referred to in a discussion with me in Jakarta.
Brought to you by absolutely nobody.
It's time for another grueling bout of
Radio Glow.
Today, Mickey, I thought we'd talk dancing politicians.
Could we please?
Dancing politicians. We've seen them overseas. We're all familiar with Boris Yeltsin's spectacular Tony Bartuccio choreographed manoeuvres. Some particular, I don't know what function it was. Was it something to do with the Fair Star?
Could have been.
But now it's come here because every paper today's got a picture of Nick Balkis and his conga line in the corridors of Parliament House, because apparently dancing in the corridors at Parliament
Parliament House has been banned after a series of expensive incidents. Now, Parliament House is just like any other office.
Yep.
There's going to be after-hours shenanigans, hijinks, ass photocopying and dancing in the corridors because it's just an Aussie workplace.
You can't stop it.
It's going to happen.
It's inevitable.
You can't legislate against this kind of thing, but apparently there was an $80,000 damage bill from one recent birdie dance session. And at another event, an original Brett Whiteley landscape became a little more abstract, as they say in the paper, with the addition of food. So there's a bit of food early.
Well, that's all part of the fun, isn't it?
I wonder who was involved there.
Yes.
Okay, dancing politicians. Now, we obviously can't get people to call in with accounts of dancing politicians, but we're going to paint a slightly broader canvas.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to call us in and give us examples of outrageous behaviour you've seen politicians doing in public. Not made-up ones, real ones. If you've seen a politician dancing, if you've seen a politician at a karaoke night,
if you've seen a politician wearing a hat made out of beaks, that's something unusual you might have seen a politician doing.
Now, I haven't had too many encounters with Australian politicians behaving outrageously. I think the only Australian politician I've ever run to outside of work hours would be, I think I was at a Malaysian restaurant once on the next table to Simon Crean.
Pretty impressive. You hang out with a fast crowd too, Matt.
No, I was looking over because I was thinking something's going to happen we can use on the show. And the only thing that happened is I think he lost the sunnies. You know on the Lazy Susan, when you lose the sunnies, they go around and you have to, it's a bit of a chase for the sunnies, but not really, there's not much I can do with that. That's not really outrageous behaviour.
Well, I got one. I saw, and a lot of people would have seen this. It's harking back. Remember the day we saw Bob Hawke put a jacket on over another jacket?
Oh, yes.
That's right. To me, is pretty bizarre behaviour from a politician.
Well, here's what we've got in New Zealand. I don't know how many Australians would remember the work of our New Zealand's former Prime Minister, no longer with us, sadly, Robert Muldoon. Remember Robert Muldoon?
I do. Piggy Muldoon.
Piggy Muldoon.
Was called in the popular press.
And I actually was one of the privileged few who got to go along and see Piggy taking part in the Rocky Horror Show.
Hang on. Are you, this is real?
No, this is bona fide. He spent a week as the narrator in the Rocky Horror Show. And they had to, because he was fairly slow on the pins, they had to slow all the songs down so he could take part. And he was doing, it's just a jump to the left. And then he'd do a really slow walk. It'd take him about 15 seconds to walk over to the left. It's just a jump to the right. And then I don't think he even bothered to shuffle back to the right. He just stumbled off stage. He looked for a share.
Wow, hey, that's a spectacle.
But that's a politician behaving unusually. Mm. And that's what we're looking for.
I saw, it wasn't anything unusual. I saw Bill Kelty once. And he was at a soup kitchen.
Really?
And he was at a soup label and he was helping people with soup.
Yeah.
I was thinking it'd be great to have been there just to complain to someone that you had Bill Kelty's hair in your soup.
What a fantastic opportunity.
That would have been fun.
It's pretty hard to top the hilarious spectacle of Peter Costello handing out blankets to the poor people as
that's
he did.
That's pretty funny.
As he did in Melbourne recently. But call us with your examples of unusual public behaviour from our politicians, and have we got a prize? Gracie, if you could fire up the Moog. As I inform you, we have a 3-pack of CDs, including Alanis Morissette, The Cause, and Hootie and the Blowfish. Plus, you'll go into the drawer. Oh, very nice, Gracie. You've been taking the mail order lessons and it's paid off. And listen to this. Into the draw for the trip for two, 5 nights in Bali, staying at the Hotel Mickey.
Legian Intan.
Actually, it's the Intan Legian.
Intan Legian. But that's what I said, but backwards it's
the Nigel Natney.
Nigel Natney.
Say hello to Nigel if you're over there, and you'll be flying Qantas. Of course you will. And it's all thanks to our extremely good friends at Creative Holidays. We just want to hear about Polly's doing something weird in public. Real stuff, not made up. Call us, tell us about it. 1-800-657-657. Track here at Martin Malloy. It's Radio Gladiators, and because the newspapers today are full of images of dancing politicians, Nick Balkis doing the birdie up the corridors of Parliament House, we're saying, have you seen a politician behaving strangely in public? Tell us about it. Who have we got, Mickey?
It's Alan on the line. Hello, Al.
Hi, g'day, Mick and Tone.
What's happening, buddy? What do you see a politician doing?
Well, it's a few years ago now, and the bloke's passed away.
Yep.
But who could forget the famous Russ Hinds, the Minister for Everything in the Joe Government, is competing in the World Belly Flop Championships down the Gold Coast.
Oh, is that right?
He was a man of substantial proportions, and he made a great impact that day, I'll tell you.
Was it the World Belly Flop Competition before he got there, or did they just make it up?
It might have been after.
And how did he go, Alan?
He came a very close second.
Did he really?
I think Big Bob from Bundle.
Right, I was
there. Picked him on the post.
And tell me this, how many sun chairs did he bust? Is he up there in Pavarotti League?
Have you ever seen Russ Hinds bust a sunbeard, Alan? That would have got you the... All right, well, thanks, Alan. That's a good start. The late Russ Hinds doing a belly whacker.
There we go. We're away.
Okay, do we need to go on? Have we got Harrit with us? Are you there, Harrit?
Yeah.
Harrit, what did you see? Who did you see?
I saw Senator John Button on the pirouetting platform at the National Science and Technology Centre.
On the what?
Explain to us what the pirouetting platform is.
Well, it's just a platform. You stand on it. When you lean out, you go slowly and you give them a bit of a push, and then when you lean in, you go pretty quick. But he seemed to have a few problems with it. He didn't quite get the hang of it, and had to tell him a few times how to work it.
But, oh, really? Bit green around the gills?
Yeah.
Yeah, because when you've been spending a lot of time in the Senate, it's a bit hard to make the adjustment to your fun parlour type arrangement, isn't it?
The pirouetting platform. I'd like to see Russ Hinds on the pirouetting platform, but sadly it will never be. Okay, thanks, Harrit. I think we might be able to go better as we speak to Jan. Are you there, Jan?
I sure am. Hi.
Not bad. Who have you seen?
Well, I actually live in Bob Carr's electorate in the same suburb where he lives, and we have a local Coles that's open pretty much 24 hours a day. And one night, late at night, I actually saw Bob Carr in Coles in his tracky decks.
Oh, was he just wandering around aimlessly?
Oh, no, I think he knew what he was there for. He pretty much got what he wanted and shot through pretty fast. Not before I recognised him.
And can you describe the tracksuit pants for us, Jim?
Well, they were probably a bit classier than the ones you guys would wear.
He's got the upmarket kind of tracksuit pants.
That's right,
He's got the blue ribbon seat tracksuit pants.
Weren't too saggy around the bum.
And what was he chasing up there?
I didn't actually see what was in his basket, and he had his cap pulled down over his eyes, so he was trying to camouflage himself.
He wasn't shoplifting, was he? Because
no,
that's the standard rig. That's the standard rig. You didn't see him nabbed out the front by a couple of in-store detectives, did you?
Oh, gee, I thought they were his bodyguards. Yeah, well, perhaps.
You didn't see him posting any pipe bombs to university libraries. I hope not. Okay, thanks, Jan. That's not bad.
That was illuminating.
Bob Carr in the tracksuit pants. Very nice. And now we've got Max. Are you there, Max?
I certainly am.
And where are you calling us from, Max?
I'm calling from Corowa.
Oh, right. And who have you seen up that way?
Well, I come from Albury originally, and that's in the Farrow electorate, Tim Fisher's local electorate.
Oh, yes.
And one day, this is a few years ago, before Timmy was the Assistant Prime Minister, it was a local election speech, and I actually went into the toilets out the back, I don't know where it was, and here's Tim, he's just come out of the toilet and washed his hands.
Yeah, well, that's good to see.
Put his hat down, and he puts his hands under the dryer, and someone's turned it upside down and blown his hair all over the place.
Got our Deputy Prime Minister. Minister of Beauty.
So our Deputy Prime Minister was in the toilets looking like one of the Bee Gees.
Absolutely hilarious. And the funny thing was he went out and did his speech with his hat on.
He's never taken that hat off since that incident.
I think that could have been the day.
And it would have been good if he'd had the hat on, because you would have seen it just hovering up near the ceiling for a few brief seconds. And what a poetic image that would have been.
Well, certainly would have been.
Thanks, Max. And now we've got Matthew. Matthew, who have you seen and where?
Well, I've had two sightings, actually. One was of John Fay, and this was at a fete, and he was on a jumping castle, acting like a bit of a dick.
Was he? Was it a similar image to when he jumped up and down and said, you know, when Sydney got the Olympics?
Exactly the same. He was actually barreled by a little 9-year-old.
Was he?
The other sighting I had was of Bob Carr, and this was at the movies, in National Loaded Weapon 1.
Oh, National Lampoon. So, hang on. We've got Bob Carr in the tracky decks wandering around the supermarket, and now we've got Bob Carr going to see a National Lampoon movie. He's got a fair bit of spare time. What was he? Was he wearing tracksuit pants at the movies?
No, he's dressed pretty swish as well. He's in his shirt.
Was it the celebrity premiere of National Lampoon's Loaded Weapon?
No, because there wasn't many people in there. There was only about 10 people in there.
And who was he with? Was he on his own? Was he snogging someone?
No.
What was going on?
No, it's just some other bloke. I think they were laughing pretty hardy too.
Were they? Well, there you
I think
go.
The beaver scene got him the most.
Oh, of course. All right. I think the beaver scene was a Naked Gun, naked but gun. We'll accept that. Thank you, Matthew. And what about Louise? Are you with us, Louise?
Yes, I am.
And who did you see and where?
I've seen the infamous Roz Whiteboard Kelly in Mal Meninga's lap in Canberra.
You've seen her in Mal Meninga's lap. What exactly were the circumstances?
Well, it was in an exclusive but seedy nightclub in Canberra. Mm-hmm.
He wasn't putting money in her underpants, was he?
Well, not that I noticed, but the rumour has it that when the Raiders received the key to the city after they won the grand final, that's probably not all that Mal received.
Oh, hang on. Is this authentic, Mickey?
This would explain those mysterious grants to sporting bodies.
Certainly. Very well, nice. All the grants were in cash only. Mm. All right, thanks, Louise. That's pretty good. But can we go past Tim Fisher?
I think Tim Fisher might have it.
With that'll a hand dryer incident.
That'll be Max.
I'm here.
You've got yourself a 3-pack of CDs.
Beautiful.
Well, no, mate. Stiff competition too from a couple of pretty good Bob cars, I thought.
Yes, and you've also gone into the draw for the trip to Bali, courtesy Creative Holidays. We'll be drawing that this Friday, and so be listening then.
Good on you. Thanks, boys.
And thanks for playing. And everybody, keep your eyes out for dancing politicians. They're out there somewhere. And we'll be back in the next hour with someone who's always on for a bit of a dance, Paul Hester.
This is Martin Molloy, brought to you by Absolutely Nobody.
Hi, this is Toucan Sam.
And in this hour of Martin Molloy, another chance for you to beat the Beasley, the latest bee in the gun lobby's bonnet, another tampered with commercial, and next up, Paul Hester, will you sign in, please?
Beat the Beasley is coming up. Call us now on...
That's Alanis Morissette with a bit of ironic here at Martin Molloy. It's the second hour. And long-time listeners to the program will know that this show, if nothing else, is a drop-in centre for Paul Hester. Mm. He's with us today. He's the former stick man for Crowded House. Or is he? No one ever knows. Please make him welcome. He's Paul Hester.
Hello. Stick men out there.
Just, you want to give a message to any drummers? Something we won't understand, but drummers out there will know what you're talking about?
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, stop.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll get it.
No idea what he meant by that.
Yeah, no, it's one of those secret society things, don't.
Now, Paul, what's going on? Are you in the band? Aren't you in the band? Has Neil split it up? Is it still together? Are you doing a comeback? Come on, give us the answer. What's going on?
Give us the crowdy lowdown.
Well, I had a vision. I saw the boys backstage in London. Mm. The whiteboard was out, the pens were out, and my name wasn't on it. And then they just split up. They just all went separate directions, yelling things at each other, and I think it was awful. I put in a call to Neil, said he wasn't in. I left a message. Beautiful move, Neil. Well done. Love, Hess. And haven't heard a word back. So, you know, who knows what's going on.
And did Neil actually say on stage, that's it, finito? Or did he say nothing, as some people have suggested?
I think what happened was the record company released this document to the media, who ran with it like a rabid dog. And then the band came on and thought that was funny. Let's not say anything. So they just kept playing these showcase gigs on their promotion tour and never said anything.
So it's unconfirmed.
It's sort of unconfirmed, confirmed. Mm. I mean, I don't really know. I'm talking through my freckle. No one's rung me. I used to be in the band. I've got an old number of Neil's in the book. He doesn't live there anymore. But, you know, what can I say?
Does it hurt, Paul? Do you feel like you've been left out in the cold?
I have a bit. I mean, Richard Wilkins hasn't called me for a quote. You know, no one's ringing up. You know, I mean, you know, Johnny Howard hasn't sent the tape back. You know, it's all friends when I'm in the band. But now, of course, you know.
Yeah, is it all just some kind of elaborate publicity stunt for your new best of recurring dream? The very best of Crowded House available very soon. Is that what it's all about?
Interesting word, elaborate. No, it's not elaborate. it's a funny old hotchpotch sort of thing, the old best of. Yeah. I mean, the bio that goes with it that you're holding there in your hands and throwing at me and saying it's all wrong. It is all wrong, as is all the books about crowded houses. They're all totally wrong as well. But they're fun, and you love them. And in the end, you can rev them up and chuck them in the compost. You know, but I mean, I love those books. There's not a word of it that's true. I don't remember what happened anyway.
No, I don't remember Crowded House discovering Malta in the early 16th century. This is totally wrong.
It was Neil that wore the two jackets in Perth, not Bob Hawke. And the reason was he was stoned as a bunny. No, we all know.
And you mentioned a book. Now, there's a Crowded House book out that you're not happy with. Can we get some controversy and scuttlebutt going on here?
I'm very happy with it.
Oh, okay.
I've yet to read anything that happened that was actually true. It's a beautifully, beautifully crafted fictional novel about four boys who grow up and join a band and go off, as it is, as boys will.
And what about because, okay, let's just assume for a moment that the band is split up. We've talked about this before, split in, split up in about 1963, as far as I can tell, and just kept having comeback tours very day. Still going with an orchestra, I understand. Is that what we're going to see from you lot?
Are we going to see a filthy lucre tour? Sex Pistols style?
Gee, I saw a picture of Johnny Rotten doing the reunion tour, and it was like a bit like Bart Simpson with a battery up his bum, wasn't it? Looked ugly. I thought, is that how we're going to end up? I hope so. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think that there's, you know, that we should probably put a lid on it, as it were, close the pimple up, as it says, the youngsters like to say, and get out there and do it for all the kids and all the oldies and, you know, start a few families off along the way.
All right. What about the cabaret circuit? What about the, are you going to go down that track?
No, I'm looking at science and technology.
Oh, really?
That's my next move. I've been...
That's your next portfolio.
Well, post-drug debate, post-legalisation of marijuana, of course, there will be no legalisation of marijuana in any shape or form whatsoever, which is right.
Is that why the band split up?
Yeah, it's why we haven't toured here for a while, probably. But anyway, no, I don't go down that road. I'll be going into science and technology purely on the educational budget of the marijuana reform, where I'll be testing marijuana every day at home for the next couple of years. People in my street have been doing a few tests so far to help the Pennington report along. We were actually asked to smoke marijuana every hour, one joint on the hour, every hour, and then write down these sort of things and tell people what we did. And interesting things came out of this.
So this is all part of the valuable ongoing work at the Hester Institute.
Yeah, in the shed, out the back in the shed, which is basically the mecca where we all come to learn. And the thing was, we found people watched TV, they watched Channel 9 more than they used to. People were amused by their pets.
So has the band split up or not, Paul? You're skirting the subject. All right, I tell you what, you've mentioned the shed, that magic word. We want to get into the Hester shed as we always do. That'll be next on Martin Malloy. Michael Jackson, Way You Make Him Feel, here at Martin Malloy, where Paul Hester is with us. We've been grilling him. We've had him under the microscope. And another story which surfaced recently on the internet, in fact, about you, Paul. It was an article we found from a British newspaper saying that you've left Crowded House, you're staying in Melbourne, and you're setting up a tea shop. Is there any truth to this? Are you peddling tea?
No.
How does that happen? Mm. Where does that come from?
And can I get some Russian caravan?
Milk with that? Or lemon, yeah. Do you want tea or coffee? Yeah, so, you know, I could do that.
Yeah, so chapeau shop. Yeah. And so that's been distorted. That's a media distortion.
It's just hilarious, isn't it? Mm. I start off with a simple idea to have an opium den outside the high school in Elwood, and it just turns into this silly thing.
It's distorted. You know? Have you been subject...
Australia, it's not true Australia.
No tea for Paul. Have you been subject to this kind of media? Do you get up in the morning, one of these celebrities gets up, opens the paper and reads something about yourself you've never heard of, apart from obviously the Crowded House bizarre.
That's my favourite thing. Yeah. If I can find anything written about me that's not true, I'm a happy spud. I love it. The more wrong it is, the more I'm in it. I mean, I'm in it for the wrongness. I love it. It's in a weird way I'm getting back at my English teacher. Mrs. McDonald. It's all coming back on her. You'll never get anywhere, Hester. You don't understand English. Literature is something you'll never know about. And all this stuff. I just love the media coming in and assisting me, backing me up to the hilt and proving my point.
Well, in that case, Hester, tell us, we do. We do from time to time, but we don't talk about it on the show. Paul, do you? Is there something true about yourself you can tell us? What are you working on? What's going on in the famous Hester Shed? Are you really an entrepreneur producing young bands, getting young musicians off the street and exploiting them? Is that what you're up to back there?
No, I've just bought a TV and put it in there and I've watched a bit of telly lately. That's all. But I am working on an opera based on an incident I had at the ABC studios with Winston McCackie, who was the Lord Mayor of Melbourne, as I recall at the time. I had the occasion to be in makeup, getting ready, preparing for my countdown appearance, and Winston came in, lifted her skirt, dropped her bloody tights off, and put on these new tights, and then whipped her skirt back down again and said, "Hello, I'm Winston," and introduced herself. And I was just appalled and amazed and fascinated and thought, politics is the game, music sucks.
Yeah, that's right.
You said, you're winsome, but they're my tights.
Yes.
Because,
exactly. So, you know, I just, that, what you were talking about before, political incidents, people in the, you know, yeah, it's happened. It happens all the time. People have to be people. They can't be politicians 24 hours a day.
Any idea how we got here, Mick?
No idea at all.
I'm linking.
1 minute we were talking about the shed. Next thing we're in the studios of the ABC. Hester, if I go into your shed, can you tell me, am I likely to come across Captain Cook's Diddy box? Was that, did you steal that from Captain Cook's cottage? Is that now in the shed?
The telly's great on top of it. It's just the right height. It's perfect. And I've thought, hey, you know, why not go to the King of the Sheds?
Well, why didn't you just set your telly up in Captain Cook's cottage and just crash there for a few nights? Well, surely that would have been preferable.
I think Paul's
hit on... There's no power on there, Mick.
Paul's hit on something here. He's referring to Captain Cook's cottage as the King of the Sheds. I think you might be right. Yeah. It really is.
Everyone says it's a house, it's a cottage. He came out, the guy built a shed. You know, that's what he did first. You guys go over there, I want the tents over there, and I'm going to build a shed right here.
It's a very small house, Captain Cook's cottage. Unabomber Ted Kaczynski would feel cramped in that cottage. And just while we're talking Captain Cook's Diddy Box, once again, as a community service, I'm giving out that description of the suspect. The CIB have released this description, Paul. See if you recognise the person. Mm. They're looking for a man dressed in women's clothes, wearing a high-fitting black leather pair of gloves with a fur trim, a striped purple hat, and carrying a child's yellow umbrella. Anyone you know there, Paul? Does that ring any bells?
Laurie Lawrence. I've seen him like that several times on tour, overseas, in fact, at funny little joints in Soho. He's a funny man. Sure, he can barrack. Sure, he can coach. But, geez, he wears a mean dress.
Well, I think we've talked enough about funny little joints today, Paul. So thanks for coming in. And do you want to plug your album? It's the Crowded House Best Of. It's Recurring Dream. In fact, it's not just a best of. It's a very best of.
It's the very, very best of Recurring Dream. The more you play it, the more it turns into a nightmare, Tone.
And is it chockers with unheard of outtakes and extra bits, Beatles anthology style?
Yeah, the bit where we tried to record Don't Dream It's Over and I was drunk and fell off the drum kit.
Oh, well.
Yeah, you hear the sticks rolling on the floor and the engineer coming out and me
the jaws
crying.
Of life calls.
Yeah.
Something for the kit. Bass drum.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Everyone talks to Neil and not me.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Well, what a very forlorn Paul
That's
Hester.
On there.
A lot of bitchy backstage type talk in between the tracks. Well, thanks for coming in today, Paul. And
glad I sorted that out for you.
Anyway. Paul. Yeah. Don't forget your children's umbrella.
Adam, off the new album here at Martin Molloy. Thanks very much to Paul Hester for dropping by. Did any of that make any sense at all?
I know, it's cleared up a lot of things for me.
Basically, what happens when Hester's on board is we just set him up in the corner and we poke him with sticks until sentences emerge. And sometimes they make sense, sometimes they don't. But, of course, somewhere in the middle of that, I think we did plug the album.
We did.
And we've had a complaint from somebody who points out that I was wrong. saying that there was no beaver joke in the National Lampoon loaded weapon, because in fact there was.
And I think that's from Bob Carr. There was a beaver, and it was very funny.
There you go. You see, what I should have done is gone out to the CD-ROM and looked up beaver jokes in Cinemania. And that would have told me all of them. You know, it would have said Naked Gun. It would have said Schindler's List. It would have told us where they all are. But I apologise to that offended listener describing himself as Senior Sergeant Daniel Beeston. So thanks very much. And let's move on to something of an entirely different nature.
It's time to play Beat the Beasley. Here's how it works. Mick and Tony have commissioned the nation's finest designers, engineers and craftsmen to construct several frighteningly lifelike replicas of Federal Opposition Leader Kim Beazley. Every day on Martin Malloy, one of these enormous structures will be dropped onto something fragile, tiny or defenseless. That is, unless you can correctly answer five questions and beat the Beasley. If you're successful, you'll win a Beasley-proof watch valued at $1,500 from our extremely good friends at Michael Hill Jewelers. Okay, lads, roll out the Beasley.
Glad to oblige, Pete Smith. And when we say Beasley-proof watch, I'm not sure that the people down at Michael Hill Jewelers, I know they subject their watches to a lot of tests and experiments. I don't know if they've actually confirmed that it's Beasley-proof.
Do you think it's beaver-proof? Is that a possibility?
We'll have to call up Senior Sergeant Beeston. But,
W411, as he's currently known in the ongoing Royal Commission.
Indeed. Now, what about today's Beasley, Mickey? What is today's Beasley fabricated from?
From scrap metal, from the Fairstar.
Not the fudge. That's right. We've got some of the leftover bits of the Fairstar. We've fashioned them into an enormous, deadly, heavy, bloody heavy Beasley. The crane's under strain today. And we're going to drop it on one of our most beloved characters here on Martin Malloy, Blimpy, the lactose intolerant cat. If you'd like to take part in that, all you have to do is call us up. We'll throw a few pretty simple questions at you. If you get five of them correct in the space of a minute and effectively beat the Beasley, you win the watch.
Simple as that.
Simple as that. 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Malloy.
The program was briefly referred to in a discussion with me in Jakarta.
Brought to you by absolutely nobody.
Yes, that crazy jitterbug rhythm tells us it's time for Beat the Beasley here at Martin Malloy. And did I mention that prize? It's courtesy of our friends at Michael Hill Jewelers. It's a Sector sports watch and it's valued at $1,500. Now,
it's worth a lot more. That's what they're selling it for, Tone. It's worth a lot more than that.
I'm thinking $1,500. This watch must be something. This must come with onboard safety features. Yeah. I don't know what it's all about.
Turns into a hovercraft.
It does drive really.
You home.
Very nice, courtesy of Q down there at Michael Hills. And what we've done is we've got one of our most beloved characters here on the show, Blimpy, the lactose intolerant cat. Blimpy's in one corner. Mm. We're about to suspend an enormous effigy of the opposition leader of Australia.
Do you think he's Beasley intolerant? He could be Blimpy, the Beasley intolerant cat.
We could well find out, but who's going to be answering the questions, Mickey?
Well, answering that particular question for us will be a young man named Rowan. Hello, Rowan.
Hello, how are you?
Good, mate, how are you?
Not too bad.
You'd be ready to go, firing on all cylinders?
Look, I'm mourning for the Fairstar, but I'm willing to drop Beasley all the
time. That's all right.
Now Rowan, nobody's managed to make this work yet, so do you think you've got it in you to answer five questions successfully?
I think today's the day.
Did you have the books open all night, boning up?
Studying hard, burning the midnight oil.
Well, Gracie is, as we speak, bringing the crane in. And I wouldn't have thought you could get a crane in this studio, but he's been able to do it somehow. When the gun goes, the questions start coming. So,
okay.
And question one, the Fairstar is also known as the what ship?
Fun ship.
Yes.
Name one of the dancing MPs.
Boris Yeltsin.
Boris Yeltsin.
Or dancing politician, I'm going to pay it.
All right, it's old. What MP would you not like to see dancing?
Bob Carr.
Bob Carr?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Name Mr. Burns' assistant on The Simpsons.
Arthur Smithers.
Yeah, Smithers. And question five, impersonate him.
Mr. Burns.
Yes. Oh, that sounds dumb.
The Beasley. Beasley remains suspended.
It does indeed. And listen to this. You've got that $1,500 watch courtesy Michael Hill Jewellers.
Oh, thank you very much.
And, of course, the dancing MPs were Natasha Stott Despoja, Nick Balkas, Chris Schacht, Alan Ferguson and Rosemary Crowley. But I'm sure we
Boris don't. Yeltsin. He's an MP of some description, isn't he?
Oh, only in our dreams.
Absolutely. All right. And for those people who might think that that wasn't the correct answer, I'll just ask you the next question. It was going to be, Ron, name an Australian with an outrageous moustache.
Bernie.
Oh, yes. So you would have got it even if we hadn't accepted Boris Yeltsin.
Oh, you're not an Australian if you don't know that.
Now, listen to this. You've got the watch, but obviously, you know, Rowan, I think we'd like to hear the Beasley be dropped. Are you going to give us permission to drop the Beasley?
Is there no way the fun ship will ever ride the waves again?
Afraid not.
Okay, drop it.
Okay, drop the Beasley racing. Blimpy Anger. What a wonderful emotional moment here at Beat the Beasley. Thanks for playing, Rowan.
All right, thank you.
And we'll be back with another session tomorrow on Martin Molloy. That's REM, Losing My Religion at Martin Molloy. And Mick, it's good to have heard the Beasley finally beaten.
We're going to hear that. Beasley's going to be dropped every day regardless.
Exactly.
You know, there's no stopping the moment of the Beasley.
No, I've suddenly worked that out. And here's a couple of little stories we haven't got to as yet. Mm-hmm. Convicted former Blue Mountains MP Barry Morris.
Oh, yeah.
He's gone to the big house for making death threats to a local councillor and for threatening to blow up a newspaper office. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we've all been keeping up with this story. But in case you're not familiar with Barry's work, here's a bit of it now.
Hello, you f***ing rotten mongrelized Chinese. I'm going to f*** you.
And, you know, Mick, I think he may have called our show a few times. That sounds remarkably similar to one of our contestants on the nude event. And the big news today is that while behind bars, Bazza will have access to a phone. Now,
dear.
Isn't that a bit like putting the Unabomber in charge of the mailroom? But despite his conviction, Morris still has no shortage of supporters and at his final hearing received over 30 glowing character references. None were for him, they were for all his characters. Mr. Chinese received 6 telegrams of support and several prominent MPs went into bat for mafioso Tony the Wheel. And if the Barry Morris talking doll isn't in the shops by Christmas, my hat's a sandwich. Now, news from Adelaide. Shooting galleries at your fun parks could disappear, from the Royal Adelaide show at least, because of the raging debate on gun control. Not surprisingly, the member for Kalgoorlie, Graham Campbell, is outraged and has immediately announced plans to set up a fairgrounds first party. Australia's Little Tin Duck Shooters Association are planning a march on the showgrounds, and former Luna Park worker Boffo the Laughing Clown has warned of a campaign of custard pies and said the Howard government should not underestimate the powerful clown strongmen, carnival barkers and sideshow freaks lobby before collapsing in hysterics and pulling a rubber chicken out of his underpants. Warned fellow clown Bob Catter, they'll get my chain down sideshow BB gun when they prize my cold, lifeless hand from the neck of that Pink Panther I won at last year's show. So that's a raging controversy on the ball. And here's another one you've probably been reading about. These ads. There was one on here, I think it was for one of your cola drinks, where they got old movie stars and they whacked them in
that's
the ad.
That's right.
And there's a bit of a debate about this going on.
Is it ethical?
Well, that's right, because there's a new ad with, I think they're doing a beer ad in America with John Wayne. They've recreated John Wayne on a computer.
Dear,
and, of course, members of the Wayne family are going, oh, I don't know about that. And we had it here in Australia. I think there were some ads for one of the cable TV networks that used pictures of the royal family. Well, I hate to say it, Mickey, but I've been involved in one of these myself.
Oh, dear.
Yes, I'm afraid I did do a commercial and somebody's had a bit of a tamper with it and changed the product. I don't know if it's detectable to the casual listener, but check this out. Hi, I'm Tony Martin and I'd like to talk to you about a product I firmly believe in. That product is
new Whole Grains incontinence pads.
And I can't recommend it highly enough. Thanks to
new Whole Grains incontinence pads,
my life is completely different. Now, whenever I've
got the squirts,
I simply jump in my brand new
pair of new Whole Grains incontinence pads
and drive away enjoying unrivaled fuel economy and secure in the
pads. ads that I'm behind the wheel of a vehicle being driven by someone wearing new Palgrain's incontinence pads.
At last, I can walk confidently into the club and say, hey guys, I've got
a dry bottom.
And watch the smiles drop off their faces faster than
someone rushing out to buy a packet of new Palgrain's incontinence pads.
So if you want to avoid
the shits
while simultaneously fighting the babes off with a
stick. Oh, that was unnecessary.
Try the
new Palgrain's incontinence pads.
It's the smoothest and most economical
product
on the open
shelf at the chemist's.
So jump behind the
counter
and take it for a test
poo
today. I'm Tony Martin, and thank you for listening to my
stick words. Oh, shit.
Sweet dreams are pretty much closing down today's Martin Molloy. Just before we go, I know a few people have been wondering about the Martin Molloy official internet site. Mm. We were talking about it before the holidays. Over the holidays, we had the tools out. We were taken to it. It's almost ready. Is it going to be open by this weekend?
We can knock the Beasleys up pretty quick. But when it comes to an internet site, we're still labouring away. Last I heard, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're aiming for, the end of the week.
It's a little too ambitious, I think. I think we've chucked too much in there.
Mm.
But the Martin Molloy virtual chair is coming along.
That's what's causing all the trouble.
That's going to be a fantastic feature. And I can't really say that it's going to be up this weekend yet, because the scaffolding's still up there. But we'd like to get it up by the weekend. Now, Keanu Reeves, we're always on for a Keanu story. What have we heard lately? He's gone the mohawk. We've seen the pictures of that.
Mm.
He's stacked on a fair bit. Can't get his ass onto the bus for speed two. The door, doors won't, so they've had to get somebody else.
Jamming on his buttocks.
And I hear they're getting somebody else who we've never heard of, Matthew McConaughey. He's going to be playing the role, the Keanu Reeves. That's what I've heard.
Big pants to fill.
Okay. Well, they certainly are at the moment, because there's been a few Keanu updates coming out of the machine. Listen to this. When Keanu's manager hired two maids to clean his rented beach house, it was so filthy they refused to touch anything in the place. We were told is he turning into Elvis? What's going on? He's on tour with his band, Dogstar, and
he's supposed to trash your hotel room. Not your own room.
He's gone his own house.
What an idiot.
And the floor was littered with fruit pits, cans, and food wrappers. Dirty socks and underwear were hanging on the lamps. The disgusted maids stomped off, even though they were offered an extra $100 each to tackle the mess.
I like the maids in that Pro Heart commercial.
Oh, Mr. E! What are you doing? But it doesn't stop there, because Keanu was certainly on the nose when he fronted up at a California supermarket and loaded his trolley with tomato juice. It seems the star had a rather unfortunate encounter with a skunk, and bathing in the tomato juice was the best antidote he could think of.
Maybe that wasn't a mohawk. Maybe it was a skunk on his head. What a shocker. You know, there's one bloke I reckon. He doesn't need to get tomato juice. All he's got to do is play a gig. Every time he finishes, he's covered in the stuff. People just piffing him at him from start to finish. He should be buying that stuff.
Yes, the stage has got underpants hanging off every fitting, and the maids won't touch a thing at the end of a dog star.
What do you think stinks more? A skunk or his guitar playing?
Oh, well, have we got time for a bit of his guitar work, Gracie? Because we always love to hear Keanu's work.
I never tire. I never tire.
The theme from The Deer Hunter, and it's all its glory there. But time for us to go. Yes, the big hand's getting close to the small one, and really we must thank our guest Paul Hester and all our gladiators. Tomorrow we'll be joined at last. We've been promising this for nearly a year. He's finally going to be with us. Adam West, the one true original Batman, joining us live on Martin Molloy. And until then, remember, if you can't say something intelligent, come talk to us.